Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It's a Chevy Power Play. Now get over $8,600 total savings on a 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT, plus an additional $2,500 in competitive owner cash. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and score. We have White Sox baseball tonight on NBC Sports Chicago. Dylan Covey takes the mound. Southsiders look down a six-game skid when they face the Kansas City Royals. Jason and Steve have your call straight up at 7. Things are getting uncomfortably close atop the NL Central. Cubs lose their third straight. Brewers are now just a game back in the Central. Is it panic time in Wrigleyville? And it's a day off for the beloved after this Sunday night collapse at Lambeau. Are there any positives, though, to take away from an offense that failed to find the end zone in its last 9 possessions? And should Bears fans be concerned that a Matt Nagy-led offense once again disappeared in the second half of a meaningful game? And welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. I hope you had a really good day. I'm David Kaplan. Let's meet the panel for today's show. He's Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic. Does a great job covering the National Football League and the Bears. He's David Haw, one half of the Mully and Haw Show on The Score mornings. And he also writes for the Chicago Tribune. And he is Doug Glanville, longtime major leaguer and one of our analysts here at NBC Sports Chicago. All right, let's start with a big game. Yes, with 19 to go, they're now officially big. Cubs and Brewers tonight. Jose Quintana against Jolys Chacin. Dougie, I got to start with you.
Yeah.
Jose Quintana, 5-2 with an ERA in the ones. How important, how big is this game? Or it's 19 to go, this is being overblown.
No, I mean, it's big. It's big, especially just responding to what's happened so far in the last few games. Whether it's the bullpen questions that have arisen. And there's no doubt that, look, the Brewers are a team you've written off at different times because of the issues in their starting rotation, mostly due to injury. But they've hung in there, and they've had guys literally step it up to now make them a contender to rely on that offensive firepower that's really shown up. So the challenge now is the Cubs pitching being able to neutralize it, and not just, you know, for 6 innings, but for 9.
This is the biggest game of the year. Your Buick has to perform like a Rolls Royce tonight.
Yeah, big time.
I mean, this is no – I even heard you say – look, I'm not saying panic is in the streets, but I even heard you say that you can no longer R-E-L-A-X.
Right.
Because
appreciate
it's
you
one
listening,
game.
Kid.
Yeah. And if you're concerned, that means people should be concerned.
Like I've said to my kids, you don't ever have to worry till you see Mom or I worry. If you see me worrying, then you can worry. I'm officially a little nervous.
You're worried. Yeah.
And you should be. I mean, look at the way that they're playing. And I think what's the problem is these injuries. I mean, it's one thing when if the pitching's off, if the hitting's off, because you expect those guys to get back. But, you know, you wouldn't have thought, you'd say this 2 years ago, they need Jason Hayward back in the lineup. You know, they need the bullpen to pitch a lot better. I think they have a 6 ERA in September. So that has to get fixed. But I kind of like Jose Quintana in the spot. You know, he just seems like that kind of unfazed type of pitcher going against a team. He's pitched pretty well against this season.
And he's pitched fairly well his last few starts. I mean, he's, you know, been more consistent. And, you know, once again, the guys are – they're only going to go 6 innings, and that's really where the question mark, because all season long you could say the bullpen was a strength. And it's had some bumps, and, you know, Carl Edwards Jr. has had some command issues. You know, he's always been a little bit off in terms of control. That's his style. But now it's been where the walks are really –
Would you go back to him tonight? If there's a high-leverage situation, do you hand the ball to Carl Edwards Jr.?
Yeah, I still hand it to him because he's still a guy they need to be established in this role. I mean, you look at this way. Like, the last couple of outings, he's come in the 6th inning. I mean, he's an 8th inning.
Where's his head, though, Doug?
He's been an 8th inning guy.
If you're in that clubhouse, I mean, are you concerned where his head is tonight?
Well, I mean, this is the game. I mean, this is the guy you gave the ball in Game 7 of the World Series. I mean, and I recognize that we have a lot of analytics and statistics to say we can match up guys consistently. But at some point, especially as you get more settled to the postseason, you like to see more roles in that bullpen, right? And with Morrow, it's had to be, all right, who's hot for this particular matchup? And it seems like Edwards, who was relied on a lot in that 8th inning, 7th inning, had a couple of outings where he's gone in the 6th inning. And I don't know if that's really what works for him as well. And, you know, so those situational things are going to be, you know,
questioned. I can't put him in high leverage when he can't throw strikes.
Well, I mean.
And then he doesn't cover the plate. That really ticked me off last night.
That makes you think, where's his head? Yeah, it makes you wonder. But you don't really have another choice, Cap. I mean, really, you don't have many other options down there, because if you want to get to where you're going, he's got to play a role.
Absolutely.
And you have. I got to get there first.
You got to get there.
And if you're going to the playoffs, you need to get him out of this rut at some point. And unfortunately, it's, you know, second week of September. But you have to get him these – you got to get him out. And that was – I think Madden was asked last night, well, is this the time to get him out of it when you're in a one-run situation in the sixth inning? But, I mean, it'd be nice if they could take like a 6-7-run lead in one of these games. You get him in there for an inning. But he's also – those aren't the innings he usually pitches either. So, you know, I go back to what Doug was saying. You know, maybe he does need to get into the eighth inning. Maybe it is mental in that aspect to get him that. But you have to get him in there at some point to try to work his way out of it.
How else is he going to be prepared to pitch one game 163?
I mean, he at his best, you need him at his best. I mean, this, especially when you're missing Morrow. And let's not forget, in August, this guy was incredible. Okay, 14 games under a 1 ERA. So we can't get amnesia for like three games in September. There's no doubt that there's some concerns with the command and different things. One thing that's different about Edwards this year is he's a fly ball pitcher all of a sudden. He was more of a ground ball. That's where his outs were, outside the strikeouts. All of a sudden, this whole season, he's lived in the air, and yet he's kept the ball in the ballpark, only two home runs.
In the other clubhouse, 10 of 12, the Brewers have won. You've been in that situation where you come in as a hot team.
Yeah.
Are they fearing nothing right now? Is the intimidation factor, or the fact that they're chasing the Cubs, is that a moot point at this point?
I think it's neutralized. I mean, you still have the factor of Cubs fans going into their home house in Milwaukee, right, and still get the turnout. But let's not forget, like, the Cubs are world champions. I mean, they know this is not unusual. We're talking about the stress of 19 games left. Well, they were game seven. Okay, so I think there's still a culture that the Cubs still have expectations that they're not going to freak out because of this. But they recognize that the clock is ticking and they're missing some bullets.
By the way, there's our Ink and Law Sports Talk Live poll question for you. Where's your panic level? You
wow.
One, five being total freakout mode. I'm like
that's pretty.
3.5, 4. I'm not happy right now. I think I speak for a lot of Cubs
fans. You have such an influence. Look at that. You've got the panic in the streets and you're creating it. You're saying pull the fire alarm. There's reason to be concerned. Run
also, like 30 days in a row, right? They're on this crazy stretch, right? I mean, it's that's unusual. And we'll see what happens with Thursday.
Look, I would rather be the Cubs than anyone else in the National League. They have the best record. All of that.
Yes.
But there is a level of concern when, you know, Ed Cedar, the third base coach, says to Moustakas, "I think he might throw a wild pitch here in the first pitch. Be ready down the line." Right. Boom. There it is. And where is he? He's standing by the mound. Oh, God, I got to get down there. Right. Too late.
Well, the concern is now from a world championship perspective. If you're a lot of teams, you're like, great, we have the best record in the National League. So I think that's the real question about how are they set up to win a World Series. And that's, you know, that's a great place to be in as a Chicago fan, to recognize that's the bar by which we're measuring. And I think that DEFCON 5 there, that's just a function of the expectation that these guys should win a championship.
Yeah, in contrast, the Brewers aren't like that. I mean, I loved what Craig Counsell had to say. They said, does last year, the way they handled September, have any effects? That's a different team. Those aren't the Brewers to expect this year. They have a lot of veterans. You look at their lineup, it's stacked with guys who've been in the All-Star game recently. That's a real dangerous group.
And the Brewers they're a good team to play against to begin with, because they're the rival and they're right there in the division. But you got to be able to beat teams that have bullpens like that, because that's what you're going to face when you get to the NLCS, you get to the World Series. I mean, Hader and Jeffries, the way they shut the door last night was very impressive.
Oh, that was historic.
Yeah. But
Hader
six
was
up,
phenomenal.
Six down, all strikeouts. Yeah. Have you ever seen that happen before?
I got to ask you, it's 9/11.
Yes.
17 years ago, you did an amazing piece about that day. Tell us a little bit about it as you wrote it.
Yeah, well, I was just channeling, you know, my experience, because I had direct experience. I was with the Phillies on 9/11, and we were in Atlanta. And, you know, obviously the tragedy, the uncertainty. I also grew up in New Jersey, so I was very familiar with the New York skyline, and I'd been in the World Trade Center and had friends and family that obviously we're all concerned about. And, you know, I tried to capture the role of baseball in that moment. And we had a lot of debate. I was the union head chief of our team. So as representing the team, we were trying to figure out what's the appropriate thing to do. Do we play? Do we not play? How long should we stop playing? Is it safe to be in a stadium of 40,000, 50,000 people? So there was a tremendous amount of uncertainty. And we were also in Atlanta, in CNN country. We were worried about, is this a target? So, you know, I remember heading back to, we were going to Cincinnati next after that series. We didn't play in Atlanta. And we stopped and took a vote about should we go to Philly now or continue to Cincinnati and go back home to Philly. So we ended up voting to go to Philly, but the bus driver had kind of reached his limits of hours, so we had to continue on. And we were able to fly the next day. And by then, you know, we'd fortunately got in touch with family. But, you know, baseball was trying to be humble about it, but also see a potential to heal. And I wanted to try to write about capturing, you know, the moments of the heroism, the tragedy, but also what, where we see sports in the landscape of how we move forward.
Thanks, man. Yep. People can read it at NBC Sports Chicago.
Yes, absolutely.
So thanks again. Thanks for being here. All right, another Bears game against the Packers. Another brutally tough loss. Aaron Rodgers rallies his team on one leg, while Mitchell Trubisky can only manage one touchdown. Should we be concerned with the offense's performance in the second half in Matt Nagy's regular season debut? We'll discuss.
Are you an authentic Cubs fan? We want to hear from you every authentic fan night. We designate one winner as the fan of the game, which includes tickets to the game, meet and greets, plus an authentic game day experience. Enter for your chance to win at NBCSportsChicago.com/CubsAF.
Well, rough night on Sunday. The way it started, everybody so excited. In fact, Trey Burton told me today the locker room at halftime, everybody was excited in there about what they'd accomplished. And then the second half happened. David Haw, it was just too conservative offensively.
No.
Mitch missed throws.
That's a myth. That's a myth.
Oh, I disagree with you.
That's the wrong word, Cap. It was disappointing offensively. It was an offensive the Packers caught up. But conservative is the wrong word because the run-pass ratio was the same in the second half as it was in the first half. Mm-hmm. On third and short twice, we're talking about why they didn't run the ball because they threw the ball. A conservative coach would have run the ball. They ran out of ideas, essentially. I mean, the first 20 plays, it was magic. It was like football Camelot. It was everything that you thought Matt Nagy was going to bring to Chicago. The second half wasn't overly conservative. It was just...
Mitch wasn't
overly conservative. Mitch was overly inexperienced, okay? Again, I don't think that this was Matt Nagy taking his foot off the gas pedal. I was thinking this was Matt Nagy saying, oh, what do I do now? Because nothing is working, and the plays that he was calling, he's here because he's a great play caller, and he just didn't call very good plays in the second half.
And he admitted that, too, especially through that third quarter. They had the three and outs. And one of those three and outs, back-to-back screen plays. One was a loss of 1 yard, and one Mitch had to just throw it at Trey Burton's feet. And Nagy admitted to us yesterday that he shouldn't have done that. But those screen plays have to be a huge part of this offense when you look at Cohen and Gabriel and Trey Burton. And those plays went nowhere the entire night. I mean, it's one aspect of the game, but it's a learning experience for Nagy. But there were higher expectations for him in terms of the second half.
Especially the way they were raised in the first half, because you saw such imagination, you saw such creativity, and you saw some of that tried to continue, but they did read the screens very well. There wasn't a counter to that. And I think they called the passes that they wanted to call downfield, but I don't think Mitch executed, and I don't think that he saw what he needed to see.
He missed Allen Robinson on the second drive of the game.
That was key.
Huge bad throw.
Yeah.
And then they ran a wheel route with Tariq Cohen on the third and two play.
Right.
And I know the graphic said third and one. It was third and two from the 14. There goes Tariq Cohen. He's got a big fat guy chasing him. He's open. Just let him run under it.
Right.
And he never even looked there.
That's what I mean, Cap. I don't know that the problem was with the aggressive versus conservative. I think that's an easy crutch because that tends to be the way we go when things don't happen and teams don't score points. But I think that there was just more lack of execution more than imagination.
All right, we'll get back to the NFL in just a moment. We got to go back out to Wrigley because there is a diehard Cub fan sitting at the other end of this camera. And Kurt Busch, what's it like to be at Wrigley, my man? Because I know you're a big Cubs Bears fan.
It's like Disneyland for me. It's always fun to come and be here at the ballpark. And then, of course, it's time. It's serious. It's middle of September. We got to make a run. Let's go.
All right, so they're only one game up. Can you bring some luck and some offense to the ballpark tonight?
I hope to sprinkle it in. I love that KB is back and the offense is they got to get rolling. But most importantly, it's just the pitchers being healthy, being strong. And with Lester the other night, we're kind of questioning that. But we'll see. You know, we get through this Brew Crew here, and we'll get a couple games back up as far as our lead, and then we go from there. But it's playoff time. NASCAR kicks off their playoffs. It's Cubby time, too.
Who has a better chance going forward? The Cubs with this great, talented team, your playoff chances?
I hate that kind of question. That one's tough because we both have to go through the playoffs, make a good run at it. We've had a solid season on the NASCAR circuit. With the 41 car, we've been very consistent. We won at Bristol a few weeks back, and now it's just a matter of executing through the playoffs, and that's the same thing with the Cubbies. They've been solid. They're right now the best record in the NL. Keep it going smooth, and get through each of the rounds. So I hope to see Wrigley Field lit up here in October.
What was your takeaway from Sunday night's football game?
Oh my. I was almost going to get with the NBC folks and text them all about everything and all the hype going on. We're up 20-0 with the Bears, but I'm like, you know what? If Rodgers comes back, we got to be careful. But hey, it's a good sign. There's a good indication that the Bears are making all the right moves and the players are just going to get settled in. We'll get going. You know, it was a tough loss, but there's a lot of good takeaways.
It sounds like you are an exceptionally positive person. Are you always like that?
My wife has taught me this whole new level of positive thinking. It's the power of positive performance, and it'll bleed through. So I'm hoping for good things on our car with the Monster Energy Ford on the playoffs. Cubbies, Bears, Chicago, loving it.
All right, my man, go get yourself a copy of the book, The Secret. You and your wife will absolutely love it, and I hope you have a great run in the playoffs. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys. Go Cubs.
Go Cubs. There you go. All right, Kurt Busch hanging out at Wrigley.
It's got to be positive to pull off that hat.
How about that? Hey, man, they pay enough, you'd be wearing that hat, too.
Yeah, I know. I was like, yeah.
Hi, I'm David Hoff for Monster Energy here.
Are you pushing that book,
The
Secret, again? Are you pushing
the
that?
Best. I know.
All right.
The best.
Do you get proceeds from that?
I don't.
You recommend that about every other day.
I do.
Like, yeah, read The Secret.
I bought everyone at radio, and now I just ordered them for people here to give out copies. It's phenomenal.
I know. You've given out probably dozens of, I think it is like you get some sort of proceeds.
You should give one to Mitch.
You should. Yeah, he's nice segue, Kevin, because
he's a leadership
there's
guy.
A guy that needs leadership, confidence, poise, command. All the intangibles that, and it's very early. And if we're going back to football, it's very early in his second season, 13th NFL start. You hear a lot this week about people who have started to give up on this kid. He is still a kid. I would recommend caution here. You know, he did not play well, I think, in the second half. He came out blazing, 7 out of 7.
I would agree with you.
But his second half was not, look at that, wide open. You got to pull the trigger right there, son. You've got to take chances. You've got to take these calculated risks. He's going to learn that. I think the intangibles can get better. I just hope that this isn't somebody who forms bad habits and becomes used to losing while he forms these bad habits. Because after the game, Kevin, you were there, you know, he sounded like he had said these things before. He sounded so good in defeat that it almost sounded too good in defeat because he knew exactly what to say because he had said it how often before. He's 4-9 now as a starter.
And that was really concerning when you looked at the stat line because it looked like a John Fox stat line. You know, 4.9 yards per attempt, no touchdowns, also no interceptions. You talk about not taking the chances. And the thing with Mitch Trubisky is, and I've said this all offseason, I don't have any question about his physical talent. We see the athleticism was totally on display. He can make every throw. His deep ball accuracy has not looked good this preseason, but we've seen it before. But how does he handle it when the bullets are flying? That was the perfect example. Lambeau Field, Aaron Rodgers coming back at you. You have this lead. You got to make a play. And he wasn't able to make the play when he needed to. The Anthony Miller play on third down earlier in that drive, 3rd and 7, he scrambles, he finds Miller. That was like, okay, you can do it. This is the type of quarterback that Ryan Pace believes in, but we didn't see enough of it.
So if they pick up a first down before the field goal, you would have been writing or saying in the morning or writing on The Athletic, wow, Mitch Trubisky, a 9-minute drive to put away the Green Bay Packers.
No, Cap. I think the story would not have been Mitch Trubisky necessarily doing that. I think the story would have been Matt Nagy gets a victory in his first NFL game as a head coach, and the Bears defense is as intimidating as it has
and
been in
years. And you wouldn't have said that when they needed to put away Aaron Rodgers, you got a 9-minute drive out of your offense?
To give Mitch Trubisky credit for putting away Aaron Rodgers would have been overstating it in hyperbole. You would have said Mitch Trubisky managed the game well enough to beat the Packers because that's all he is right now, and that's okay. He's your second-year quarterback. He's your second overall pick from that draft. But to expect him to be the second coming of Aaron Rodgers is unfair.
Agreed. He's got a long way to go.
It's okay for him to manage games. With this team that you have right now, with this defense as good as it is, manage a game. Don't get you beat.
All right, up next, we'll talk the NASCAR playoffs with Chicago Land Speedway's Scott Paddock next.
If you love baseball, you can't miss NBC Sports Chicago's newest show, Baseball Night in Chicago. Between Ozzie Guillen, Doug Glanville, Bill Melton, David DeJesus, there's never a dull moment. For complete listings and guest information, visit NBCSportsChicago.com/Baseball Night in Chicago.
All right, back on Sports Talk Live, our guy Scott Paddock is here, still nervous after Ball State almost beat Notre Dame. But before we talk NASCAR playoffs, you have a big event this weekend at the Speedway, the Super Chevy Show.
This is a fun event. It's returning to the Chicagoland market. If you're a Chevy fan, a GM fan, this is for you. It's a professionally judged car show. It's going to be right at the midway at Chicagoland Speedway. And the thrill of this is if you win your class, you get featured in the Super Chevy magazine, which is quite an honor for these Chevy enthusiasts. So a lot of fun, band, midway, a lot of content, swap meet. So if all things GM, if you're a Chevy fan, this Sunday for you at Chicagoland Speedway.
What's a good crowd? What are you expecting?
Probably about 5,000 will come out for this. And then next year we're going to move it over to Route 66 Raceway and incorporate a drag racing
element. It helps a little bit. There's no Bears game to compete with you because the Bears play Monday night.
That's right.
So I'm glad we're not
going to steal any thunder from the Bears this weekend.
Yeah.
So. How about a Chevy Silverado? Can we bring one of those out there?
Anything you want.
All right, let's talk about where we're going now. We're down to 16.
Where the playoffs are here. So finally, 16 now. We're kicking it off in Las Vegas this weekend. And, you know, some interesting storylines. Where has Brad Keselowski been all year? He decided to make an appearance the last two weekends, ending up in victory lane. So he's now a threat, peaking at the right time. Can't count out Martin Truex, Kyle Busch, Kurt Busch. In his Cub fandom, he'll
be. How about that? He's going to be positive. He's going to win.
He's
positive about everything.
Yeah,
that's it.
So it's really going to be interesting. And remember, they kicked off the year earlier in Las Vegas, but much different track conditions this time. It's going to be about 100 degrees there on Sunday. So they're going to have to set the car up a little differently than they did six months ago.
My kind of weather. All right, we have to make our picks.
Well, sorry to not go out on a limb, but I got to go with Brad Keselowski. He's hot right now, and in his last six races at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, he hasn't finished worse than seventh. So I think it's third time in a row for Keselowski.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen for you.
No?
I'm going to go Kevin Harvick.
Harvick? Yeah. All right. Well, good luck, Kat.
Good luck to you, buddy. And the Super Chevy Show.
ChicagolandSpeedway.com.
Along with David Haas, Honda Pilot.
Okay, I'll be there.
All right. Thanks for coming in. Boys, thank you. That is a wrap for Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Baseball night in Chicago is next with Layla and the guys. Have a great evening. We'll see you right back here tomorrow.